Good morning. Doing something just a little different this morning and this evening. The theme of our service both times is Our God, He is Alive. As we enter into worship this morning, I'm going to ask you to please stand. Please stand. Brother Ted Kramer will come and read an opening scripture, and then if you would, please remain standing for the first song.
Scripture reading is Psalms 145, verses 1 through 6 and verse 21. A song of praise of David. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever.
Praise the Lord, you heavens adore him, praise him, angels in the high. Sun and moon rejoice before him, praise him, all his stars and bodies are alive. Hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen, amen.
Greetings, folks. It's good to have you with us and joining us, and good to have folks joining us online today as well. It's a grateful day, a wonderful day for us to praise the Lord, and it's a nice day to sing some songs and to enjoy this time that we have together. Let's bow together as we begin. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for the ways that you bless us. We're grateful for the blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus, for the joy, peace, and hope that we enjoy because of him and because of his sacrifice on the cross. We thank you, Lord, that we have a church that meets in this place. We're grateful to have a nice warm place where we can gather and sing praises to you and hear from your word and just enjoy this wonderful time together. We're mindful, Lord, of those of our number who are facing COVID and fighting with COVID. We pray you'd be with them and with the doctors who care for them. We pray that you'd help them to recover from their illnesses. We're grateful, Lord, for those of our number who've gone through some pretty serious episodes in their life and are really recovering well. We thank you for that, Lord. We ask your blessings upon us as we worship you today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. The author of books and songs sometimes makes a pretty significant difference. I have a daughter who now, our middle daughter, is now an author. She has written two novels, one of which has a second edition already. She's written four books for junior high school students, and she's written two little short stories about the adoption of their son. But she's quite an author. But we really think she's really good because she's our daughter. That's who she is. But it's really interesting. Who the author is makes a big difference. One of the psalms that we frequently sing is, "The Lord is my shepherd." And that's, interestingly enough, by David, who is himself a shepherd. Isn't that interesting? He writes a song about being a shepherd, and he indeed is himself a shepherd. The text that we're going to be looking at today, "Our God, He is Alive," was written, and the tune was composed by Aaron Wesley Dickus. He was born on May the 30th, 1888, in Festus, Missouri. While he was still a small child, his family moved to Swayze, Indiana, a small town in the northern part of the state where he grew up and graduated from high school. In 1908, he was baptized into Christ, becoming a member of the Normal Congregation, the Normal Church of Christ. 2 years later, he married his first wife, Bertha. To this union were born three sons. Almost immediately, Dickus began to pursue two aims. He wanted to further his education, and he wanted to become a preacher of all things. But interestingly enough, his primary job will not be preaching. In 1912, he received his B.S., his bachelor's degree, from Marion Normal, and in 1915, he delivered his first sermon, after which he filled in with regular preaching appointments all over that part of Indiana. He also taught school and soon advanced from the classroom teacher in a one-room school to an instructor in a large technical high school, and so he will move to be that. In 1918, Dickus gave up his teaching to develop an invention. He invented the turn signal. Isn't that interesting? The turn signal that you have on your car was invented by this man who wrote the song we're going to sing in a few moments. However, in the recession of 1922, he was forced to turn over the rights to his financial partner. And so the partner got all the money from inventing it. He didn't get any money from inventing it, but he's the man who invented your turn signal. He received an invitation to work with the Lincoln Street Church in Bloomington, Indiana, which afforded him the opportunity to attend the University of Indiana and later to receive a special scholarship. By scheduling monthly appointments at several churches, he was able to continue preaching while he finished his BA and his MA, his Master of Arts degree. In 1929, after he had completed most of his work on his PhD, he was offered a job as the head of the physics department at Tennessee Polytechnical Institute in Cookeville, Tennessee. It's now called Tennessee Tech, but it's that school. Through these years, he continued his preaching, accepting monthly appointments at small rural churches. And so he is a PhD in physics who's preaching for lots of churches. In 1937 to 1939, he commuted regularly to Chattanooga to work with the Ridgedale Church. During the 1940s, he became involved in military training and preparing graduates for nuclear studies at Oak Ridge, Tennessee. That's where the big plant is. Tennessee power is really centered there, and they have nuclear power plant there that he was a part of developing. In 1950, he accepted an offer to become the academic dean of Florida Christian College in Temple Terrace, Florida, near Tampa. By the way, that's one of the churches that's supported by Churches of Christ that we call non-institutional Churches of Christ. But he was there, and that gave him the opportunity to preach for churches in Brooksville and Tampa, Florida. So he gets to preach there. He continues. He's the academic dean, and he will teach physics there. After moving to Florida, he suffered the loss of his first wife. But in 1953, he met and married his second wife, Flora. When he retired in 1954, he preached full-time for churches in Winter Haven and Miami, Florida, and then identified with the church in Temple Terrace, Florida. He also began composing hymns as a hobby. It was just a hobby for him. He received help from Margie H. Garrett to harmonize and arrange hymns. He had no idea how to write music initially, but she teaches him how to write music, and so he will organize those hymns. In all, he produced 25 different songs. The only one we have in our song book is this one, Our God, He is Alive. The most popular of these, among his first ones, Our God, He is Alive, which appeared first in 1966. It wasn't long after that I learned to sing it. Shortly after that, our minister for the East Park Church of Christ in Danville, Illinois, found a copy of the song, and he taught it to us. We had a little chorus that sang there just to learn new songs and teach them to the church, and he taught it to us. And so I've been singing it for well over 50 years now, but it's a special song to me. It always has been a special song to me. In fact, his name was Billy Ringgold, and probably I'm a preacher to some degree because of that man today, because he was such an important influence on me. The song was composed at a time when some theologians were saying, God is dead. And he said, God's alive. And that's the song we're going to sing in just a few moments. Our God, He is alive. The first publication in a hymn book was at the end of a sheet, an end sheet, beginning around 1973 in Sacred Selections. We had that little black Sacred Selections songbook, and that's how I think we initially got connected to it. But we put it in the back of our songbooks before it was even in the songbooks. We put it in the back of our songbook so we could sing it. Eventually, Dickus's health began to fail, and he died September the 2nd, 1978, in Tampa, Florida. The song offers praise to God for His greatness both in physical and spiritual realms. Several years ago, Bill J. Humble, who taught for a long time at Abilene and at Harding, wrote a wonderful tribute to Dickus. The article was entitled, A Scientist with a Song, and I thought I would share a bit of it with you. In it, he said, through the years that I worked under Dr. Dickus, he was a great source of strength and inspiration. As a young teacher, I could go to him for counsel and encouragement, but I remember Brother Dickus as more than a distinguished physicist turned college dean. I remember him as a disciple of Christ, a man of deep faith, a man that expressed that faith in a song. For it was Brother Dickus who both wrote the words and music for the song that is so popular in churches today. Whenever I hear the congregation singing these words today, and especially a group of young people, I think of Brother Dickus. A lump comes to my throat. It is a source of spiritual strength to me to know that these great words of faith were written by a distinguished scientist. It is also a great reminder of the great debt of gratitude that every generation owes to those who have gone before. Brother Dickus died at 90 years of age. But even though he's gone, he still lives when we sing, There is a God. As time goes by, A.W. Dickus may not be remembered for his inventions, his preaching, or his academic achievements, but he will undoubtedly be remembered for many generations to come as the one who was willing to proclaim in song, Our God, He is alive. He's not known for making the turning signal. He's not known for doing all the work he did with nuclear science. He's not known as a great scientist and a great physics teacher, but he's known for this song, and we sing it today. A bright and cheerful song that states, We know our God, He is alive. Have you ever thought about these phrases? They are phrases that come from this song. He framed the worlds. He shaped them. He made the worlds. He tinted skies. We had this beautiful blue sky out yesterday. It was wonderful. Jenny and I were driving down and looking at that beautiful blue sky. He tinted skies. Men may search for the germ of life, but they will not find it. So many truths the prophets heard the God's voice. God alone speaks from His inspired Word. What about a scientist in an era when men were trying to create life from matter? During his era, people were trying to make life from stuff that was around. They want to create life. And he says, secure is life from mortal mind. God holds the germ within His hand. Though men may search, they cannot find, for God alone does understand. I love that. You see, God knows it, and He made it, and we can't make it. We've tried to make it, but we can't make it. What about a Christian who appreciates his salvation in the fourth verse? Our God, whose Son upon a tree a life was willing there to give, that He might from sin might set man free and evermore with him could live. A great scientist, a great theologian of sorts. But I think that's really quite striking. What a lovely, thrilling, amazing reminder that God is the one in charge, in control, that He and He alone has offered us salvation. We cannot find salvation without Him. We cannot live with Him without being set free from the sin accomplished in the cross of Jesus. God is so good. All right, let's sing this song, Our God, He is Alive.
There was a Lord, there is beyond the azure blue, a God who still from human sight. He tinted skies with heavenly hue and framed the world with His great might. There is a God. He is alive. In Him we live. And we survive.
From dust our bodies. My task this morning as we prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper is to show some emphasis of how God is alive and his impact on our spirituality and our Christian lives. As we go, we've been studying in Genesis, and certainly we there see so much of the activity of God in our lives. But this morning, I want to look at the activity of Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, and to show the impact he has had specifically, in that as we surround the Lord's table, we're really partaking of the ceremony and this wonderful thing that Jesus instituted the night of his betrayal. We look in 1 Corinthians 10th, the 10th chapter and the 4th verse, and speaking there of when the children were in the wilderness wanderings, and that it says that they drank of that spiritual rock, and that rock was Christ. We look to the book of Isaiah in the 6th chapter, where Isaiah is given that marvelous vision of the Most High. It says that he was high and lifted up, and the glory of his train filled the entire temple. And as we come to the New Testament in regards to what Isaiah was privileged to see there in the 6th chapter of Isaiah, that we see in John the 12th chapter in the 41st verse, it very clearly tells us that the one that Isaiah saw high and lifted up, and whose train filled the glory of the temple, was the second person of the Godhead, the pre-incarnate Christ. So when we look at 2 Corinthians 8:9, a verse that I really, really love, where it tells us, "For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we might become rich through the things that he did." And when you think of the glory that Christ had with the Father, as we just talked about, and that he gave that up and came to this earth to suffer the terribleness of the humiliation and the pain and the suffering of the cross, it can really impact us, I think, as we think about it, as we look at it in that way. And as we prepare ourselves for the communion, I'd like to go back to the 6th chapter of John, beginning there in the 22nd verse, and that narrative runs clear through the 51st verse of John 6. And there it's speaking of the bread of life. And it says wonderfully, I think, in the 33rd verse of that narrative, "For the bread of God is he who came down from heaven and showed life to the world." That's what Jesus has done for us. And as we go on through the rest of that narrative from verse 33 through 51, 6 times in those verses, it speaks of coming down from above. And I think it really puts emphasis on what Jesus did for us and how impactful he is in our spiritual life and what he has done for us, showing that our God is alive. He's not some person that just made us and said, "Good luck, guys." That's not the case at all. But our God is alive, and he is so much a part of our life, and he done so many wonderful things for us that we might be able to follow what he has told us and to live eternally with him. And on the night he was betrayed, he implemented this wonderful ceremony here of partaking of the bread and partaking of the cup. And I think when we think back and reflect on the things I've mentioned, be it from the spiritual rock, that the children in the wandering in the wilderness drank from, or be it the high and lifted up vision of the God there in Genesis 6, or I mean in Isaiah 6. Those can really make this service, I think, mean so much in our lives and truly understand that our God is alive. At this time, as we surround this table and we have this opportunity, that I hope that each of us will, as we partake of this bread and cup, will really reflect and think about what God has done for us in our life. Let us give thanks for the loaf. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what your Son did for us, the unbelievable price that he paid as he went to Calvary's cross, the humiliation, the suffering, and all the things that we read of in your word that he went through that we might have the hope of eternal life. Father, we thank you so much for this loaf. In Jesus' name, amen. We now continue our thanks for the cup. We thank you, Father, so much for his blood that he shed on Calvary's cross. We thank you so much that he was willing to pay that price. No one else could have done what he did for us. He was a perfect, sinless Lamb of God. We thank you, Father, so much for this cup. And may we reflect on the price that was paid. These things we ask in your Son's wonderful, wonderful name. We now set aside the time that we can give back to God for the marvelous way that he has given to us. As our God is alive, we see it no greater than the blessings that he showers down upon us. And so at this time, let us truly give as cheerful givers. Dear Father, we thank you that we have this opportunity to emulate your giving nature as we can give back to you. We pray, Father, that we truly will give as cheerful givers, and we pray, Father, that we will do it joyously as we reflect the giving nature of you. These things we ask in your Son's wonderful, wonderful name. Amen.
Our God, he is alive, and he wants to be our Father. And this next song goes into great detail about him as our Father. Great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast sinned, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, I am that provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
We'll continue our reading this morning from the book of Psalms, chapters 34 and 107. And we're going to do what has been titled a responsive reading. We've done this in the past, but just to refresh your memories, I will read, like, for instance, "I will bless the Lord at all times," then we'll all read, "His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Okay? "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes it boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me,
and delivered me from all my fears.
The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him,
and delivers them.
O taste and see that the Lord is good. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people.
Do me so.
Our next segment in the worship service is, "He is mighty. He holds nature within his hand. He, with the breath of his own words, created all of existence." We see his power over nature. And most of all, we see his power and mastery over death. Death could not contain our Lord and Savior. He rose from the grave that on the first day of the week. And now we come together to praise and worship him, for he is mighty and he is alive. Let us sing.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 and verse 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me."
Number 238.
Holy, holy, holy.
God, he is alive, and he is holy.
Be still and know that
Our God, He is holy. Reading from 1 Kings 19, 9 through 13. There he came to a cave and lodged in it, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, killing your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand in the mount before the Lord." And before the Lord passed by, a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke the broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind came the earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in a cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?"
The song we just sang had lots of mores with it. Did you notice? We need more holiness, more strivings, more patience, more sorrow, more faith, more joy, more purpose, more gratitude, more trust, more pride, more hope, more tears at his sufferings, more pain in his grief, more praise, more purity, more strength, more freedom, more longings, more fit for the kingdom, more useful, more blessed and holy, and more like Jesus. More, more, more. It's a call for us. It's really very much a prayer that we would be more like Jesus would have us to be. We're going to sing an invitation song in just a few moments. That invitation song is this wonderful story of love. Indeed, it is the wonderful story of love that calls us to be God's people. It begins with the angels are announcing it. They're going to announce it, and the shepherds will receive this wonderful announcement. And even from Calvary, God calls us. And He's been calling us from the very beginning of time. He's calling us to be His people. Jesus provides us with rest. He provides us with mansions above. And we'll be up there singing the praises of God wonderful story of love. What a song, isn't it? It's a call, I think, for us to appreciate that wonderful story. Perhaps you've appreciated that story and need to respond to it in one way or another this morning, to confess Jesus as Lord, to be buried in baptism, to begin a life of service to Him. And if you need to do that today, we'd like to give you that opportunity. For the rest of us, we need to think about who we are and this wonderful story that indeed our God, He is alive. We've sung it and we'll sing it again tonight, and I hope you'll be back to join us as we sing it tonight. If you need to respond in any way, we'd bid you to do that as we stand and as we sing this song.
Wonderful story of love, tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love, great the immortal strength. Angels with rapture announce it, shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love, wonderful,
Jeanetta McClure came forward as we were singing the invitation song. We announced on Wednesday that she wants to place membership with us here, and she says she really wants to dedicate her life to service to the Lord. And we're grateful to have her as a part of our number. We are thrilled she's been worshiping with us for a while, and we're thrilled that she's with us and has come to be a part of our number. Let's bow together as we pray for Jeanetta. Jeanetta, we thank you so much for your coming, and we're grateful, Lord, for her and for the ways that she will be a blessing to us. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be a blessing to her, to help her to grow in her faith and to help her to grow to be more, even more like you than she's already become. We thank you, Lord, for her and for all that she will mean to this church. We pray these things in Jesus.
Thank you to all who participated this morning. We hope that you found this service to be edifying and inspirational to you. I'd ask you now, or tell you, to please pick up a bulletin because there's announcements in there that I am not going to repeat. I do want to tell you a few other things that are not in the bulletin. One is Mark's Sunday, February the 13th. We'll have responsibility for the love and care service that day. And that's not been announced yet. But again, February the 13th, 36th Street, we'll have that service down at Love and Care. We also, last week, the elders announced that they'd like to put an electronic sign outside of the building here, and they pledged $15,000 of the $20,000 cost. So they were asking the congregation to raise $5,000.
Well, in 1 week, we've raised 2,600 of the 5,000. So you're to be commended for that. Keep up the good work. We also treated yesterday the parking lot outside for ice, but because of the extreme temperatures, that ice is still out there. So as you leave, please be very careful, because there is ice in the parking lot in spots, so please be very careful as you go out through there. Some of you have probably noted that Jerry and Mary Limley haven't been here for 2 weeks now. Jerry has COVID and Mary has a severe cold. They both are improving, but keep them in your prayers. Sandy Goodnow is in the hospital and will have a procedure this week, so we ask that you keep Sandy in your prayers as well. Also, for those who didn't know it, lunch will be served back here in the multipurpose room after services, so please plan to attend and enjoy the good food back there. I can't think of anything else, so I'd ask you now to bow as we go to God in prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we've been able to come together this morning to sing songs of praise to you and to pray to your high and holy name. We hope that you help us share your love and legacy with everyone that we meet this week. Guide us as we travel life's uneven journey, and help us to comfort those who are ailing or who are lonely. God, we thank you for choosing us to help bring your kingdom to this earth. It's in Jesus' name that we pray, and amen.